You're listening to the Intentional Partnerships Podcast, where we explore what it looks like to truly engage families for the benefit of children. Well, we're so glad you joined us today. Welcome to Intentional Partnerships Podcast. I'm Mike Hall with Strong Fathers. We're here today with our guest, Donna Kosicki from Georgia PTA. And Lindsay, I am very excited to talk to our friend, Donna. Full disclosure, she has been a friend of mine and a colleague in family engagement. Also, the committee that she'll be talking about, full disclosure, I'm a member of that committee. I have the fortune to be able to work with her over the past few years and also presently on that committee. And so I'm really excited to talk to her about what she's doing in PTA.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when we think about the world of education and the world of families, PTA is one of those organizations that just jumps to the front of everyone's mind because they've been around. And so I'm excited to chat with her and see from her point of view what's going on the inside.
Yeah, you're on the inside, so we'd like to know. So tell us kind of your background and what's gotten you to this point with your experience in PTA and family engagement.
Well, I am a mom of three. My kids have all grown now, graduated high school, went to college, graduated college. And so I still find myself still involved in this work because it's so important. And we just have to keep at it until we get to a place where we can say, yay, we've arrived at a great level. Now let's continue working. My experience with PTA is when I moved here to Georgia from South Florida, the summer of 2000, I got involved in my kids' schools and got involved in PTA, but I didn't really get it. I didn't understand the purpose of it. And so around 2002, I attended a conference and I attended a family engagement workshop. And I tell you, it was as if heavens opened up, the angels were singing. I was like, I got it. I understood why it was so important for parents and community partners to be involved as partners with schools to support student learning. And it really has been my platform ever since. I have come up through the ranks, so to speak, serving on the state level. I have served as a parent involvement chair, the family engagement chair. I served as state president from 2011 to 2013. And my partners that I have worked with over the years, they are colleagues and dear friends. And we now look at education and partnerships as ways to answer questions. And in Georgia, one question that we had at the state level, which was really huge, it was a challenge that we had, was we do these parent involvement, family engagement workshops, and parent leaders or PTA leaders are really, really excited. And they go back to their schools and they say to the principal, hey, I learned this great program. And the principal says, stop right there, right? They've got principals and administrators. They have huge accountability, huge responsibility. And parents were being stopped at the door. On the other side of it, the Department of Ed, my colleagues there were saying, we got the same issues. We have teachers and administrators who want to engage parents, but they didn't go to college for this. There's no real professional development for this. We don't know how to make this happen. So we answered the question by hosting the first statewide family engagement conference, and that was in 2012. And I'm proud to say that it's a biannual event, and we've done this 2012, 2014, 2016, and 2018. And we host this event to bring both sides in a dual capacity building framework, both sides, teachers and administrators, parents and community, together to network, learn, talk about, create their plans for the school year, all based on how we're going to work together and to support student learning and achievement and school improvement. So now I'm the current family engagement chair for Georgia PTA with a host of goals, and I have some dynamic partners on my team, and we're just looking
And Mike. We have dynamic partners and Mike.
Absolutely. I can't do it without you. And I just want to say, I think I was in Texas. I was at a national PTA convention and I heard about this guy, Mike Hall. Like, what's the buzz with Mike Hall? So I go to his, you've not met Mike Hall. Okay, great. Well, you want to learn about father engagement, which was a different turn from male involvement.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, yes, I want to go. And we were fully engaged for like 90 minutes. I was like, I guess we don't need to sit down. We're up, we're down, we're moving around, we're talking, we're learning, we're just, and I fell in love with the work that you do, Mike, and I value our partnership so much because it's integral. You take it beyond male involvement. It's about father engagement, and I'm proud that you're part of the family engagement committee.
Very good. And the check's in the mail, evidently, or needs to be. So
needs to be, yeah.
Well, and you know, we started moving the needle on that because the idea was we need more dudes, and because we didn't think dads were around. And it's like, no, the dudes are the dads and the dads are the dudes. And so we've tried to change that framework. And I will say too, that's one reason we wanted you on the show too, is because this is not a flash in the pan for you. Like you said, you've been doing this mm-hmm. from the time that you got your prophetic message through the heavens about family engagement. She is the prophetess of family engagement. You've been in, you know, we've been on this road together too, the fact that we had this one mindset about parent engagement in general, father engagement also, and now we're moving into, you know, whatever it looks like now. And you've had to kind of not only help lead that, but morph with it and deal with the challenges. So as we talk mm-hmm. about this persistence and how we make this sustain itself over the long term, first off, where do you find your strength in that? And then what are you seeing that's making these things sustainable, particularly in a program like PTA where leadership changes come, you know, pretty often, kids kind of, sure. you know, age out. And then we have those that, you know, their kids are out of school and they're like, nope, they're still coming. Donna's still here. But, you know, talk to us about sustainability and what you've seen in keeping this message fresh for people.
My inspiration actually comes from students. Early on in my work in this field, I had a high school student come up to me and say, you know, Mrs. Kosicki, I get it. You do a really great job. I see that you're working to move this needle on student learning and student engagement. But, you know, as a high school student, I see a lot of changes going on in education. I see a lot of changes going on in leadership. I just have one question for you. And the question was, how long do you want us to wait before y'all get it right? Wow. And right. So that was a question that sort of went, you know, right between my eyes. And I just looked at this young man and said, you're absolutely right. So the work doesn't stop. And the sustainability piece comes in the programs, and it comes in the resources, and it comes in the partnerships, the collaborative partnerships that are created and sustained in schools, outside of schools. So there's a couple of basic assumptions that we all operate on in effective family engagement. And they're simply that all parents want what's best for their children, regardless of where they're at, regardless of their status, regardless of their educational background, where they live, how much money they have or don't have. Every parent wants what's best for their child. Now, the statistics are that it's a very low percentage of parents that just don't, won't, can't care. So right. That's 3-5%. But the good news for us in this work is that 95%+ of parents do care. Now, so that's the first assumption. Second assumption is that all teachers and administrators want what's best for their students, regardless of what comes across their desk, regardless of the support that they receive as teachers from their principals and what they know outside of what they've learned in college, how to build a partnership with parents. Teachers want what's best for their students. The third one is that networking right now is vital. We can't do education in a silo, and it cannot just be the school. So networking right now is incredibly vital. And the fourth one is that we have to agree, especially when it comes to effective family engagement, on goals, on how we're going to move forward. How are we going to become partners? How are we going to do that? So each of these four basic assumptions, they each hold a challenge, right? Within parents, you have parents who, some of them, based on their status, they don't really know what they don't know. They don't know how to navigate right. the school system. We don't know how to connect to them. Teachers and administrators, it's the same. They haven't gone through these classes in college or even in professional development on how to build these types of relationships. And networking, if we just keep blinders on and just keep looking forward and not looking outside of working outside of the box, then there are challenges with that. And then agreeing. So to agree on a goal means we have to understand the landscape a lot of my colleagues and those that I work with, when they ask me, what do I do? How do I move forward with this? How do I meet some of these challenges? Well, first off, it's the biggest one right now is this dual capacity building framework. And how is that done? And really, it's looking at family engagement from the perspective that it's taken everybody and everybody has to be at the table. You can't just do a workshop with parents or professional development with teachers. Everybody's got to be in the room, talk about how we're going to move forward.
Right.
Another challenge is that parents are given labels and that's how we see them. Right. So I came across Donna Beagle, who is a woman who really broke out of generational poverty. And if you ever come across her in your resources and Google her, she's doing amazing work with breaking those barriers. And she talks about that we see parents in poverty as an example, or Title I parents, and we see this label and we can't see past who they are. We can't see what's going on in their lives. And so parents have labels that are hard to get past sometimes. And so that's a huge challenge that we have to do. And then, of course, it's changing the narrative. The narrative is it's taking all stakeholders. Everyone has value. Parents are decision makers and they can be vital decision makers. And it's this collaborative building relationships type attitude that we walk into when we're doing this work. You talk about, you know, this fourth assumption of agreeing on a goal. Well, there's got to be that overarching goal. What is this overarching goal? So in a school, whether elementary, middle or high school, it could be we're just not welcoming. We're not creating this environment where parents are feeling welcome in the school. Or it could very well be that we don't know how to connect with parents. There's an overarching goal that needs to be met. And then the second goal is to have a very specific academic goal. Here in Georgia, in 2000, then Governor Roy Barnes, he passed the A+ Reform Act. And in that act, it states that every school must have a local school council. And it's an elected office. They hold elections every single year. I think it's an odd number of people. So you have the principal, some teachers, business partners, and then you also have parents. And parents right now lead the charge on this. They chair this committee. It's their responsibility to lead this group to look at the school improvement plan and identify academic needs and to make recommendations to the principal on what they think needs to happen. So this is an interesting dynamic because it's a mandated parent involvement law that's here in Georgia, just one of a few. So looking at an academic goal being very specific, we can address and work on an overarching goal that will get us to, so that we're all working as stakeholders on a very specific academic goal. We can move the needle academically and in student learning by looking at what is family engagement. When are we going to do this and what resources are available to us that are going to make this happen for us?
So Donna, you covered, there's so much in that we can pull apart because you're absolutely right. All of those looking at goals and looking at partnering and all of that is so, so critical to this work. And I just kind of want to backtrack a little bit because you mentioned a couple of things around partnering with families and these challenges that we have as both administrators and parents who are not educated on working with each other. And we're kind of, just going as we go and learning as we go. So when we think about families who are engaged in PTA, I think one of the things that I think about is you have families who are showing up. They're already families who are more naturally engaged or have been prompted to engage or, stepping into PTA is something that they're doing. But how are you guys supporting through all of that families who are not in PTA and who maybe aren't ready to take that step, but who still need a little boost of energy or a little boost of support to get through the door at school and break through some of those barriers that exist for every family, whether they're involved in an organization or not?
Sure. Well, the average PTA member, they are engaged. They have some education. I think right now there's a great focus on diversity to ensure mm-hmm. that all parents are being involved to and encouraged to become members. And becoming a member of PTA certainly has its benefits. But I think the greater goal here is how do we engage the parents as a partner?
Right. Right.
And being able to look at parents and their current situation. Right now, there's a lot of great work that is being done towards building support services for parents. I think one of the greatest, biggest misnomers with parents that are not in the school is that, oh, they're not involved. That's a fallacy. Mm-hmm. Parents, the majority of parents that are not coming into the schools are involved. They're doing the best they can to make sure their kids are fed, that they're bathed and ready, and that they have school supplies. And the sort of the where the work really comes in, the challenge is that, you know, more than 20% of families in this country are in poverty. We need to look at family engagement through a clearer lens and being able to see what is it that our parents and our families need to strengthen the support and what they're doing at home so that we can create opportunities to bring the classroom into the home. Because I will tell you, if a parent is trying to decide how much food they're going to buy or which child is going to get a pair of shoes this month because they can't afford it, or what school supplies or where they're going to go to get these things, they're really not concerned about coming in to attend a PTA meeting or even a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
So the work right now in family engagement is really morphing into or moving into just building support services and identifying what parents' needs are. With parents as teachers, you all have this home visiting mm-hmm. model, and what a great opportunity to build trust and build relationships. Like, I know Dr. Maria Paredes, she also has that home visit model. And we have some of that here in Georgia, where it's this great opportunity to find out what it is that parents need.
Yeah.
So that they, from this category of not knowing what they don't know to, okay, I don't know this, but I know what I need to do to go get
that. Yeah, absolutely. And that's our biggest goal here is, you know, when we're talking about family engagement through early childhood, that's really what we're talking about, is how are we setting parents up with the skills to advocate for their child and, yeah, to figure out what they need to know and who to talk to and how to do that. Our goal is to start that conversation early so that by the time they get to school age, now families are more comfortable saying, I know I have to talk to somebody about this. And even if I don't know who to talk to, I know right. that I can talk to somebody.
Well, and you said a very key word, and that is the comfort.
Absolutely.
We all go into, as parents, we go into this parenting thing, this, you know, there's no real book on how to be, you know, you don't get a book when you give birth to a child, you know, at least I didn't get one. We do the best that we can. And with education, now we get this complication of, you know, how do we make all of this work? And as parents, research shows that we bring our past experiences into this mix, into the school. So if parents are apprehensive, or even if, I mean, there's a population of parents that they don't read, they cannot read, so they feel inferior, or they're just not comfortable, or whatever these experiences are, they're not going to come into the school. So I think a lot of pre-work with family engagement is building the relationship with them and sort of leveling the playing field. And there's some really great things that schools are doing that show, for a teacher, your child is my student. And so to identify that, you know, you're going to find out parents and teachers have the same goals and dreams and wishes for that same student. Dr. Karen Mapp, she has one really great exercise that she advocates and that she teaches. And Karen Mapp, she's from the Harvard Graduate School of mm-hmm. Education. She says that if you can get parents and teachers in the room, you can actually begin the dialogue and conversation on what is your hope and dream. And then for that student, that child, and then building on that conversation and saying, okay, how do we get there? How do we make that happen? I want whatever the goals are.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we have found here in our work and kind of what we're trying to do is, how do we support those conversations? We have to have those conversations. And how do we get in and say, here's what we think we're good at. Are we actually good at this? And if not, how do we fix it in order to make spaces where relationships can happen?
Absolutely. One of the greatest things I have seen in a while is the U.S. Department of Education started doing this a couple of years ago, and you can actually Google parent mm-hmm. camps online. Right. You'll get the U.S. Ed website. It's an opportunity to invite parents or to go where they are and host a conversation. The unconference model, which is really based around this parent camp concept, is that to invite a parent to a parent engagement or parent involvement workshop is, it implies that I'm the teacher, you're the parent, come to this workshop so that I can teach you how to be a better parent. Whereas this parent camp concept is now, let's all come together. Let's talk about a topic, you know, based on what's happening in the school year. Maybe it's the beginning of the school year. What are the expectations that are being placed by teachers on students? And what are the expectations that parents have of teachers and with the school? So it just creates, whatever the topic is, this opportunities where everybody really becomes an expert and you have one person who facilitates the conversation. We meaning a statewide family engagement conference steering committee, we brought this concept to Georgia for the 2018 event. My colleague at the Department of Education, she has been training all of her parent involvement coordinators and parent liaisons that are funded through Title I on this very concept. This great, unintimidating way to have a conversation with parents and with community business partners. From there, they can take it from there as to how they're going to identify and address this overarching goal that they have within their school, and then how they're going to address their very specific academic goal and move that needle academically for students.
Well, and don't you find that people are kind of surprised at the efficacy, the effectiveness of that process? But we, as parents and educators, we kind of enter it with this fear because we're afraid, just like you said, parents are intimidated. Educated or not, they think maybe they're looked down upon. Teachers are worried about, I think, sometimes being exposed, you know, as far as like, well, you don't do this or that, because of the challenges that are in the teaching in classrooms. Do you find that once that conversation happens, people are first off pleasantly surprised, but also kind of surprised at, wow, number one, that didn't hurt. And number two, the good things that come out of that. So what's been your experience with, as those participants leave that process, what are you hearing?
The big thing that I hear is just the surprise of now being able to get on this road of sustainability. We know that research is showing us that family engagement is not done in silos or in these boutique events, as we call them. They're done through systemic family engagement. And when we have this dual capacity building process that's going on, and we do parent camps, or there are teacher camps, educator camps, where teachers come together and they talk about topics, maybe how to engage parents, whatever, or how to teach something better. That once that these groups come together and they're, it's almost the epiphany, and it's the realization that I didn't realize that this one particular resource would work this way. Or like in PTA, we have the National Standards for Family School Partnerships. In Georgia, they were adopted in June of 2010. At the State Board of Ed meeting held in June of 2010. And so now we all have the same resource that we work from. And so in Georgia, when we say, give yourselves the opportunity to sit down and talk together and then look at the national standards, they look at it and they talk about it, and they can assess how well they're doing within each of the six standards. I am so happy to hear reports and to go and visit schools and just to hear about the work that they, this understanding of, okay, we understand now how this is going to happen. Now let's identify what our goals are, and let's get to this work, and how they build on it. Every single year, these schools are building right on what they're doing. And so now we have schools that are doing such a great job building that they're mentoring other schools.
There it is.
And yeah. That's how communities are built. How they're strengthened is not only are we doing really well within our own community, but now we're working outwardly and we're building our community. And it's all centered on students. Teachers do have this. It's a huge task before them. And I am in awe of teachers. I don't think I could ever be a teacher in a classroom. The responsibility is so huge. And I admire every single one of them that have stepped up to the plate to say, I'm here to do this. I feel like my part in all of this is to help strengthen what they're doing to bring all stakeholders together and to show them how we can do this so that we can continue to, like an onion, so to speak, working from the inside out. You just keep strengthening until we're reaching out. There are communities in Georgia, and I know across this country, that are doing that.
I'm in an education family. I'm a former educator. So we live in that school year kind of mindset, but what you guys have done and what you're seeing done that's making it sustainable is we're setting goals. And then when we get through, let's say, that year of goals, then we're setting the new goal. And so that's where it perpetuates, you know, not only the work, but perpetuates the fact that we're moving forward and continues that momentum. Out of all the things we've talked about, that's one of those things that's so concrete that it kind of lends itself to that sustainability, because we're not like, okay, that's done. See y'all in August. We'll talk again. Like, no, we're already talking about where we're headed next. And I think, well, you know, I think that's such a huge ingredient.
It's so huge. And the other piece of it, there's two other like additional pieces to that. And that is, doing this work, you can't just look at the school year. You have to look at the whole year. And so what's happening at the end of year? How are we preparing for summer? Because research continues to show us about summer learning loss. What fun, great resources and things can we share with parents so that they're sharing them and you know, with their kids, with their student, with their children. And then the other piece of this is transitioning our parents and in support of students from grade level to grade level, and then from elementary to middle school, and then from middle school to high school. So it's a pipeline for sure. And it's not just from year to year. It's early care, childcare learning. It's, you know, being prepared for kindergarten. It's being prepared through up to 12th grade to get that child to graduation, and then to make sure that he or she is prepared for college or career, whatever it is. The statistics bear out that those children, those young adults who graduate from high school, they earn a higher wage than those who do not. There are some outliers out there, and we've heard about them. I didn't graduate high school, but yet I'm a successful millionaire doing, you know, A, B, C, or D. Those are outliers and very far and few between. So it's this pipeline and understanding it, just not just from year to year. It's the entire pipeline. What we need to do for each of those pieces to create that whole picture.
So Donna, I know we've been talking pretty broad, like high level. Just want to ask really quickly about, like, what are some specific ways or specific opportunities that parents have to get involved or to be engaged through PTA or in their schools that PTA is supporting?
Typically, at open house is one of the best ways to create an opportunity to introduce yourself to parents. And curriculum night are the two of those events held at the beginning of the year where schools are going to see the largest number of parents to come in. Having a table, putting on your Sunday best, so to speak, and meeting parents as they're coming in and saying things to them like, if you're looking for a person to head up, say, your father involvement committee, and you see a guy coming in the door, probably the best thing to not say is, hi, you look like a dad. Would you like to chair our father engagement committee? Going to say what? But if you create a conversation and say, look, we're working on this project within this committee, do you have a couple hours every month to come in and help us do A, B, C, or D? It changes the dynamics of the conversation. So specific ways, know when is the best time to reach parents, and open house, curriculum nights, the best time to do that. You can even host a 5-question survey if you want on basically, what do you need? How welcoming is the school? You know, just whatever questions you want, or a PTA leader and you're working with the principal, what is it that the principal wants to know specifically right then and there at the beginning of the school year? And, you know, partner with Chick-fil-A and you know, here, answer a survey, get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich or something. You know, there's different things that you can do to create an incentive for answering surveys and just really using that opportunity to introduce yourself and to get to know parents on a
And I think one of those things that you just said there is key is, we talk about open houses and curriculum nights as places where families come in, but often we struggle with what those actually look like. But making them times to build relationships instead of lecturing at parents and telling them what they might not actually need to know, you know, using those nights to build those relationships and support them in understanding what their kiddo is going to do at school can be great ways to start that process of engagement.
Yes. And I would also say that what a great opportunity for your team, your PTA team, along with your principal, to get together at the end of the year. You're newly elected. You really are going to take the summer to get ready for the upcoming school year. But if you know now what your focuses are, what the academic focuses are, can you build a theme around that focus and carry it for the whole year. And so my challenge would be to parents and teachers and administrators and community partners, get creative, be childlike, think out of the box. Karen Mapp, going back to Karen Mapp, she talks about honoring and respecting parents. Well, quick process. There's a working through themes based on or focused on an academic goal that can be done, right? So classic example, if anyone has heard me talk about this, they've heard me tell this story, but it's just a classic example. There was a school in the Midwest, not a whole lot of parent involvement, but they realized that as far as parents coming into the building, but they realized that open house and curriculum night, that was going to be their opportunity to shine. So at the end of the school year, they get together and the principal identifies that science is really going to be a major focus. They want to really move the bar academically in science for all their students. And so they get together and the theme of that they had decided on was body bag. And parents are like, what is going on with the school? The principal sends out a letter saying, thank you for a successful school year. We're looking forward to the upcoming school year. Here's, you know, the dates for open house. Be sure to be there. Oh, P.S. We're not calling it open house. It's body bag night. So it's creating this stir in this community. They have an increased number of parents that come into the building and it's status quo, right? They're doing the same thing that they've done years prior. They're doing open house and they're talking about expectations and, you know, parents now they get all these papers that they have to sign. Well, what it was in elementary school, what parents were finding is when they were going into their child's classroom, I think they had a general assembly first at the beginning, and then all parents were dispersed into their respective children's classrooms. And they go in and they saw a body paper representation of their child. So 2 or 3 days before open house night, body bag night, they drew their body on, traced their body on a piece of paper. They had two of them. They stapled them together. They stuffed paper in there and they drew their head and their face and their hair and all that. So, and they made them so they were sitting in the chairs. So parents walk in, they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And the only way, and also all those papers that they had, parents have to sign, were stuffed inside the torso of this body bag, so to speak. And so what parents had to do in order to take their child's body bag home is they had to trace their handprint on a piece of construction paper, and they had to write their child's name, and they had to sign their name. The evening concludes with the teachers, they had pinned all of the handprints on the wall so that when the students came in the next morning, you just imagine the responses. There's my dad's hand. That's right there. Oh, there's my grandmother. That's her right there. She was here. So it now created this buzz. And you think about this, and not that we want to use students, but, you know, they're part of this process, you know, this education process. And what this school did was just so dynamic because now students, the day, but like, mom, dad, you've got to come to school for open house. I don't want to. No, you have to. You don't understand. I can't tell you why, but you've got to come. If they weren't sure about just the, you know, the unusualness of this theme, they carried the theme throughout the school year and they were able to move the needle in science. But more importantly, they created this relationship with all these parents and teachers and, you know, it's one of my favorite stories on building a theme. So when you ask about what are some specific things, it starts at the end. It starts at the end of the school year and it starts about how you're going to plan and identify what you're going to work on. And to me, it is the focus is, of course, on open house and curriculum night. But what can we do? There's some other amazing stories that you would think there were little kids putting these things together because they're so creative.
Creating those opportunities that really, spark interest and in coming back.
Donna, we appreciate the time of the conversation, and we will definitely probably get you back on to talk about more of this. I know that the energy that you have and the energy that you brought to this conversation, but we appreciate, man, just the work and, you know, I think the world of her work, and she said really nice things about me, so I don't get that very often. So I'm like, yeah, I like this lady. Donna and some of the people that we've talked to, you guys are forces of nature. And at the same time, where not everybody feels like they can do that, you guys have done this work. You've been doing this work. And we appreciate the input because these are all actionable things that people can do and ways that they can think about how they're going to sustain that, whether it's through PTA, whatever their role is as a parent. And so we appreciate you joining us and being a part of this. And we can't wait to talk to you again.
I look forward to doing that. Thank you.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook